Hi everyone, welcome to the session of Direct Tax with me. First, before starting the lecture, I just want to introduce myself. Myself is Professor Dr. Suresh Pujari, and I am going to take your Direct Tax subject, and I'll try to make this subject more impressive and more attractive for you, though it is a very dry subject for the finance students, but this is a very important subject at the same time. You should know the basic fundamentals of direct tax and indirect tax. Today, but we are going to talk about direct tax, the introduction of that. So I am myself, I will introduce about my mine is that I am Professor Suresh Pujari, and I have done my graduation in finance, at the same time post graduation also in finance, and done my completed my PGDM in finance from Wellinger Institute of Management, and in the last year only I completed my PhD in finance. So I'll be taking you to the world of direct tax, which is your subject in finance specialization. So hope you will enjoy the session, and for that I want and answers, you should keep on interacting with me. I'll make this session very live so that you'll feel that you are interacting with me. So with your due permission, let us start with direct tax, advanced direct tax for the subject finance specialization for the people who have opted for finance specialization. This is one of the subject in the second year. So direct tax. Now see, tax. Now what is this tax? In Hindi, when we call it tax, it is called lagan. Lagan is used to impose by previously in the kingdom, the all kings of the kingdom used to charge lagan, levy lagan on the people. After that, when India was ruled by British people, so they impose lagan on the income of the people of India. Right, so at that time there was no bifurcation, it was just said lagan, right? But in today's world it has a two different category. So in tax, when you talk about tax, there are two broad categories in today's world they are into, so that you need to differentiate that, and without differentiating, you will not be able to understand the tax structure of our country, right? Acha, when I talk about tax structure, we are talking about tax structure for the individual. In this whole session of direct tax, in your subject, we are going to talk about the tax structure for an individual, right? In the direct tax, we are talking about the tax structure of the individual, and in the indirect tax, which is the another subject of yours, which will in that we'll be talking about the indirect tax. So what is direct tax and what is indirect tax? Tax, we know it is the history. From the history we can make out what is tax. Tax means lagan. Lagan is introduced by the various kings during that era. Afterwards, it was in order to run the kingdom, they need money. So from where they will get the money? Obviously from lagan. So there are different types of lagan during that era, which was then time to time modified by the various rulers. Today we are, since the country is run by the government, so government has divided the lagan into two parts on the basis of their function. They divided that into two parts. Now before the indirect tax, before 2014, that indirect tax structure was different, but now that structure was different, right? So we are going to study about the direct tax. So let us start with the direct tax. Are you with me? If yes, please give me a good smile. Yes, I got that smile. Thank you so much for the instant reply on my question to start with the. So let us start with the direct tax. Now, we are into the chapter of the definition of direct tax. First of all, the learning objective, what we are going to learn after this chapter, we are going to learn about the tax structure in India. Since we are doing this course in India, so we will be studying about the tax structure of India, not about any other country, right? And then in the tax structure of India, we first we understand the tax structure of India, and then we will talk about the brief introduction about the direct and the indirect tax and the concept of the capital assets. Okay, so let us move further. So tax structure in India. Tax is one of the main source of revenue for the government. As I told you that previously in the olden era, the kingdom used to, in the kingdom, the king used to charge tax because in order to run the kingdom, they required money, right? To give protection, to give service to the people of their kingdom, and to give salary to their soldier who are working for the king. Right. So for all that, they required money. And at that time, the main source, the king used was not used to do any production or something like that. King used to rule the overall kingdom, and they used to protect the people from various outside enemies. Right. So for that also, they used to charge, and for running the government, to run the kingdom, they used to collect some kind of tax, which is called at that during that era, it was called lagan kar, but now it is called as termed as tax. So this tax is one of the main source of revenue for the government. India has a well developed taxation structure, right? It is a three tier system. In India, we have the tax is collected by three tier system, means the tax is collected by the central government, state government, and local government. When I say local government, I am talking about the municipal corporation of your city. So tax is paid by even citizen who earns income, and tax the tax is paid by the citizen of the country who earns income. Actually, they are supposed to, but there are people who hide their income, so they might not be paying the tax on the income. But tax is paid by the every citizen who earns income. Taxation process of direct tax and indirect tax imposes tax on citizen. So now, who controls the direct tax and who controls the indirect tax? Let us talk about that. The taxation process of direct tax and indirect tax is import tax on the citizen. Okay. So the next part is, central government will get tax revenue from direct tax. So central government, see, I told you the tax structure is on three tier system. Central government also collect tax, state government, and local municipal government. So what are the various sources of revenue from the central government from the tax? So one, from direct tax, indirect tax heading, income tax is collected by the central government, wealth tax is collected by the central government, gift tax. Suppose you have given a gift to a property to your loved ones, in that they are getting it for free, but the person who is giving it to you as gift, he has to pay tax as gift, and that tax is collected by the central government. Okay. Acha, in indirect tax, right now, excise duty, custom duty, and service tax we used to calculate. Excise duty, custom duty, and service tax. Before coming into the process of GST, the central government used to get tax in form of indirect tax. It was excise duty, custom duty, service tax. That was our tax structure before the government has made the changes to one tax, one nation, one tax policy. Before that, the central government used to get indirect tax revenue in form of excise duty, custom duty, and service tax. Now all this has been aborted, and we are paying one tax as one nation, one tax, that is GST. But still, you have custom duty and import duty are there, still prevailing, and it is collected by the central government. But on the service tax is removed, and other tax on your goods and services, that is all removed, and that is converted into GST. And in GST, there is a share for the state government as well as central government. Understood? So direct tax, what are the revenue sources for central government and from the tax part is that from direct taxes, they are getting income tax, wealth tax, gift tax. And in indirect tax ka format, they are going to get excise duty. They used to get excise duty, custom duty, service tax, but now this has been, excise duty and service tax has been eliminated, and overall custom duty and import duty is still there, but excise duty and service tax is eliminated, and for that excise duty, service tax, VAT, central SunVAT, everything has been eliminated, and they started charging, the government started charging one tax that is known as GST. Okay, so these are the revenue source of tax for the central government. Let us talk about the state government. State government gets revenue from tax as sales tax. They used to get sales tax from the sales tax. They used to get the revenue, value VAT, value added tax. They used to get the revenue, excise duty on liquor and tax on agriculture. Tax on agriculture, previously there was no tax on agriculture, the primary product. But from the agriculture product, when it passes through various byproduct from the agriculture, if they make the byproduct from that, for example, from tomato, till the tomato is grown, there is no tax. The income from the farmer, the income which the farmer get from selling the tomato, on that there was no tax. But from the tomato, if the company is making ketchup, so there they used to take the tax. So state government will get revenue from sales tax, value added tax, excise duty on liquor, used to get. Now all this have been aborted, right? And for all this, there is only one tax which is called as GST. Okay, acha, now talk about municipality. Municipality used to get this revenue as octroi duty, property tax, profession tax. Previously, before GST has been introduced. Now, octroi duty is eliminated. So now, what is the source of income the municipality is getting? The property tax and the profession tax, professional tax. Okay, so this is the tax structure. Now, we'll come to what is direct tax. What is direct tax? Now, see, name itself suggests the meaning direct tax. So, direct tax is the charges which is imposed directly on the taxpayer by the government. Tax is paid directly to the government. This is the first objective. What is direct tax? First, the charges direct, which is imposed directly on the taxpayer, that is the direct tax. Tax is paid directly to the government. Second point, cannot be shifted by the taxpayer to someone else. Direct tax, if the direct, the income is earned by me, so I cannot shift the tax burden of mine to someone else in direct tax. Whereas in case of GST, it is shifted from the manufacturer, it is shifted to the customer, the final consumer. Understood? But direct tax, if you have earned the income, you only have to pay the tax. So that is a specialty or the feature of the direct tax. Okay, impact and incident of tax on the same person, matlab the tax which is levied by the government will be, it will impact on the person who has earned that income. It will cannot be transferred. He can. And income tax varies based on income earned. And the amount of the burden of tax varies from person to person. If you are earning more income, you will be taxed more. If I am earning less income, I will be taxed less. So the burden, the impact, the income tax varies, the burden of the tax varies from person to person depending upon the income earned by them in that particular year. Okay, so that is what the direct tax is. Indirect tax collected by the intermediate. Now indirect tax, as I told you that indirect tax is collected by intermediate. Previously indirect tax was service tax, I told you service tax, custom duty. The custom duty part and the import duty part used to collected by the central government, and the remaining tax was supposed was collected by the state government, like sales tax, VAT, SunVAT and all that. Okay, so indirect tax is collected by the intermediate. It is not paid directly to the government by the final consumer. It is paid by the manufacturer. See, the tax which is collected, indirect tax which is collected, though it is paid by the customer, but it is collected and paid by to the government by the manufacturer. can be shifted from taxpayer to someone else. Yes, I told you that actually the income is earned by the manufacturer, but the tax burden is imposed on customer. We are recovering that tax amount from the customer. Paid by supplier of the goods and services, but recovered from the customer, consumer. May increase the price of the goods. This tax increase the price of the goods from time to time. Unlike income tax, everyone has to pay the same tax rate irrespective of financial liability. Achha, in income tax, income depends. But here, in case of goods and services, the rates of tax is fixed. Right? Every person who is buying this particular product, he has to pay 10%. If he is buying this product, he has to pay 30%. If he is buying electronic product, he has to pay 28%, 6%, 12%. Depending upon the product, the percentage of tax irrespective of the person, but the percentage of tax on the goods remains same for any of the person who is paying the tax. Now, Income Tax Act 1961 provides the machinery for charging the tax. So first, this income tax reform, which has been introduced by the Indian government in 1961, it gives you a mechanism, how you have to impose tax, when you have to impose tax, on whom you have to impose tax. So charging of tax, it will give you the machinery for charging of tax. Machinery means direct tax on the income of the people. Custom duty, when you are doing imports, when you are importing goods, at that time custom duty, import duty, right? So charging of tax mechanism is given by the Income Tax Reform 1961. Computation of income losses under different heads, you have to compute the income and losses under the different head, which is designed in the Income Tax Act of 1961. Deduction and rebates is also well advanced. Mentioned in advance in the mechanism. Assessment of income, appeal against the assessment, a collection of recovery, of tax, everything. Each and every process is mentioned in the Income Tax Act. How to collect, when to collect. Achha, can we appeal against the assessment? Right? What are the recovery? What is the refund method? Refund of tax ka method? What is the process of getting the refund of the excess tax which is paid? What is the procedure of appealing for the wrong tax charged to the individual? Where to go to for the particular tax category, which department to be approached, everything is written, the mechanism is given in the Income Tax Act reform, and time to time changes are made within that reforms if the government finds something which is feasible, which is fruitful for the government as well as for the taxpayer. In that situation, they may change it in the every budget of the country. In every financial year. Okay. How income tax law administers? Now, who administers the income tax law? This is very, there is a hierarchy. Finance minister every year present the finance, as I told you, that they keep on changing time to time if they feel that this tax is impacting this. And if you change this particular tax slab or tax imposition, then it will have a fruitful impact on the government revenue, as well as it will be having a some kind of relaxation for the person who is paying tax. So definitely the finance ministry will look after it, and they will see to it that that impact is what is the impact, what are the drawbacks, what is the benefits, merits, demerits, after taking into consideration all the things, and then they will come to the conclusion that we can make this type of changes. So finance minister every year present the finance bill, also commonly known as union budget. It contains financial proposal for every new financial along with the rate of income tax, right? So whatever change, so last year they may have the charge on a particular product 18%. So they find that by charging 18%, it has impacted the final price of the product, which is affecting the consumer, and because of that, the country is losing some kind of revenue. People started, they stopped using that particular product and they are going for some other product of which the option is available. So because of that, the manufacturer is also suffering, and if the manufacturer is suffering, definitely the government will also suffer because of the revenue. So they will think of that, and they will make the necessary changes in that in the coming year, in the and they can present that in the union budget. Ministry of Finance through Central Board of Directors, CBDT, Central Board of Directors, they issue circulars, notification, press releases on the various issue related to the administration of income tax machinery. So this is how the income tax law is administered, and it is administered through the finance ministry. They, finance ministry, our finance ministry will design the tax structure every year, and in the previous years, from the previous year's experience, they will make changes. They have the right to make the changes, of course, by, you know, by discussing in the parliament session, and after that they will introduce that budget. Okay, so on that various issue related to administration, everything is administered by the finance ministry. Now, agriculture income. Now, we are talking about every kind of income. See, tax is levied on income. So, every kind of income we are talking about. Now, what is agriculture income? Obviously, any rent or revenue derived from land which is situated in India and is used for agriculture purpose. When I say agriculture income, it not only means that you are only taking income which you have earned by farming on that land, but the income which is generated on the land which is used for agriculture purpose, all that comes under the definition of agriculture income. So when we say the agriculture income, so the thing which comes in your mind is what? Income earned from agriculture, means farming and all that. But the definition includes what? Agriculture income means any rent or revenue derived from the land which is situated in India. I repeat, in India. Not in other country. Other country ka income arise hone par, why we will think of that and why we will pay tax on that, or why the government will impose tax on that. Indian government will tax income from earned from India, not from abroad. Okay, acha. Is used for agriculture purpose. B, any income derived from such land by agriculture or the performance by a cultivator or sale by a cultivator or means of provided, right? And any income derived from any building owned and occupied by the receiver of the rent or revenue of any such land. In that agriculture land, you have made a storage where all the farmers of that particular area keeps their store their crops, hai na? So that is also, and that the storage which is built is on the agriculture land. So that income is also included in agriculture. This is the scope of agriculture income. So to understand the direct tax structure, we need to know certain important definitions which are there, which that for knowing the direct tax, we should know all these definitions very well. So in that, the very first definition, the very important definition is SSE. Now, who is SSE? In a simple language, definition is there for you in the textbook or in the tax reform book. But in a very simple language, if you want to understand in a layman's language, what is SSE? The person on whom the tax is going to be levied by the government, either by central or state government, that person or that institute or organization on whom the government is going to levy, impose tax, is called SSE. In a very simple language, is called SSE. Now, who is SSE? On SSE may be a person by whom the tax or the other money is payable. It may be an institute. It may be an organization. It may be a group of people or organization or a society, cooperative society, on which government supposed to impose tax and they are supposed to pay tax. That is called SSE, right? So the definition says that SSE means a person by whom any tax or any other sum of money is payable under this act, includes every person against whom any proceeding has been taken for the assessment of his income. Every person who is deemed to be an SSE under any provision of this act, means he is deemed to be. Deemed to be means abhitak he is not going assessed before that, but he is deemed, is going to be in future, he is going to be the SSE because he is coming under the slab of the tax. Every person who is deemed to be SSE in default under any provision of this act. So in the provision, the person who is payable tax by any form, whether it is direct or indirect, if he is payable certain amount of money to the government, whether it's central, state or local, he is an SSC. Okay, the next is person. Now what is person? When you say person, that the term person shall means person includes an individual, Hindu undivided family, a company, a firm. When I say person, person mean, doesn't mean Mr. Suresh Pujari. It can be Suresh Pujari, it can be Suresh Enterprise, it can be Suresh and Dinesh Enterprise. It can be firm, company, joint Hindu family. Right? So when I say person, in English, person means one individual. No. In the definition of tax, person means an individual, Hindu undivided family, joint family business, a company or a firm. Or an association of person, AOP, or any body, individual, whether incorporated or not. Means any body of individual or whether they are association of a person, whether they are registered, incorporated or not, but they are treated as person because they are doing some operation through which they are going to earn something. So they are coming under the definition of person. Any local authority, any authority who is giving certain services and there they are getting some income, so they are also treated as person. Every other artificial judiciary person not falling under any of the above category is a person. Clear? Acha. Now, there are definition year, regarding year. There are 2 years in which in the taxation, there are 2 years we are supposed to know about. One is assessment year and second one is the previous year. Now, what is assessment year and what is the previous year? The year in which income tax amount, the tax amount is calculated. The year in which the tax amount is calculated for us, period of 1 year, one financial year, the one period of 12 months which is commencing from 1st April. That year in which you are calculating the income of an individual, of a person, of an organization, of an institute, wherever, that year is called assessment year. And the calculation which you are doing, the calculation of the income which you are doing, is not that year. You are calculating the income of the income which is earned in the previous year by that individual or a person or a company or a firm. So assessment year is the current year. In this year, in this present year, you are calculating, you are counting, you are calculating the total taxable amount on which the tax should be imposed. Acha, that amount, the taxable amount which you are calculating, that amount you have earned, the person have been earned in the previous year, that year is called a previous year or financial year, previous financial year. So when you are talking about tax assessment or tax year, there are 2 years which is included. One, the year in which you are calculating the total income, that year is called assessment year. And the year for which you are calculating the income earned by you, the income is earned by you in the previous year. So previous year you have earned the income, this year you are going to assessed for that, you are doing assessment of that income which you have earned, how much total income you have earned from various heads. So that is all calculated in this year. The calculation year is called assessment year, and for which year you are calculating, that year is called previous year. So this is a very important two definition for the direct tax. You should know.